Lord's Hill Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
I really needed that prayer. Because I already... Because I already have butterflies in my tummy. And I shouldn't at all. Because of this wonderful sun we're looking at. In his book, Things Fall Apart, Chinua Achebe, that is the author of that book here, portrayed Okonkwo, the principal character, as a successful and important man in the village, who ended up killing himself because the tradition that he was bent on protecting drove him into despair. He killed somebody and then he committed suicide. One day you are the most important person in the world. The center of attraction. The cameras follow you everywhere you go. And the next day, all is gone. What do you do? Kwame Nkrumah led Ghana to independence. He was the first African president. He had everything at his disposal. Whatever he said was plastered in the newspapers. He was a statesman known all over the world. He had wonderful ambitions. He set up in motion Pan-Africanism, the Organization of African Unity. He built so many factories, did so many infrastructure in Ghana. He had everything. He was revered and respected. He had audiences with the various leaders of the world. The Queen. Some great and important people, musicians, all over America and the world came to see him. Then, on one fateful day in February, 1966, he was on his way for a conference in Hanoi, non-aligned conference, and then there was a coup that overthrew him. He could not return to the country that he had loved all his life, that he had spent all his time trying to build up. What would you do when things fall apart in your life? There are many more examples that we can think of, like Saddam Hussein in Iraq, Colonel Gaddafi from Libya, and what about Richard Nixon, the president of America, who had to resign because of the Watergate scandal? What do you do when things fall apart? We all have had experiences like that before. Maybe a friend stabbed you in the back. Maybe the job position that you thought was yours was taken away from you. Maybe the relationship that you thought was secured has been shaken. Maybe your financial security is at stake. Maybe the results of the examination that you thought and have learned all year for, you have failed it. Maybe the result of that blood test that you took has revealed your greatest fear. Maybe just maybe, you have fallen from grace to grass. Just maybe, maybe, things have fallen apart in your life. All the trauma and humiliation that you can think of in these situations does not compare with what David went through at the time of writing this psalm. David's oldest son, Amnon, raped his stepsister, Tamar, and Absalom took things in his own hands and killed his half-brother in revenge. As punishment, he was forced to live in exile for many years. Eventually, he succeeded in pleading with his father, King David, that he might return home to his motherland. But really, the truth was, David was missing his son. He allowed him back into the kingdom after many years, but he would not see him, nor give him audience. So after 2 years, Absalom somehow forced and convinced David to see him. He was eventually given the freedom to walk about in the country, the freedom to move about freely and to do whatever he wanted to do. In spite of David's goodness to Absalom, Absalom began to court the disgruntled people in the kingdom, offering himself as a more sympathetic leader than his father. He used guile and deception to convince over 10,000 of David's soldiers to join him in the rebellion. Some of David's trusted advisors defected and joined him. Jerusalem had become a bed, a hotbed of rebellion without David's knowledge. When David realized this, he had to flee to survive. So with his supporters and servants, he left the city. And he followed them barefooted with ashes on his head, a sign that he was really grieving, a sign that he was in pain, a sign that he had lost everything. Absalom eventually took the city. He took over the throne. And he claimed 10 of David's wives as his own. And he had absolute control of David's advices. It was David's most humiliating and traumatic experience in life. Everything that he had spent his life on, working, had suddenly tumbled before him. One son was murdered. His daughter was raped. And the murderer, who was his own son, was after his life and his kingdom. Things have fallen apart in David's life. How would you feel? Many believe that it was David's sin with Bathsheba that caused his problems. That may well be true. But the fact is, no one goes through life without facing troubles. But when you are the main man, the man after God's own heart, when this happens to you, how would you feel? How would people say? This was a traumatic experience. It was when things have fallen apart in his life. It was while David was in the wilderness that he wrote this Psalm number 3. Notice that Psalm 3 is a very short psalm, only 8 verses. Sometimes in our predicament, all we need to say is help. So maybe that's why it is so short. But we are going to be looking at this psalm in 4 parts. The first part, the first and second verses, shows us about David's peril. The third and fourth verse records David's prayer. The fifth and sixth verses records the peace with which results from the prayers that David said. And the last part gives an affirmation of David's faith. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. David cries out to God, irrespective of the numbers that have amassed against him and what others were saying about him. Being surrounded does not mean being forsaken or being abandoned by God. He knew that God does care for his children and hear their cry. This taunting that there is no hope for him was too much for David. Even Shimei from the house of Saul taunted him with insults, but David restrained from his soldiers from laying any hands on him, saying that maybe God wanted him to curse me so that through the curses, he, God, may have pity on me and restore me. Thy will be done. Even in the peril, David recognized that God's will had to be done. He wasn't bothered about the insults that were being held at him. Thy will be done. We know that insults were being held at him. There is no hope. There is no help for him in God. Remember that many years later, Jesus was subjected to the same insult. He says he is the Son of God. Let him come down and take him from the cross. You see, when we are walking with the Lord, there will be enemies. There will be insults held at us. God knows it all. God knows everything that is happening. But still, David comes and lays it before God. Notice that he is not informing God, but he's rather laying his burden on the Lord. David is acknowledging to God that he can't handle it himself. This is in stark difference to how we pray. We present God with a shopping list, as if he does not know what is going on, instead of laying our burdens at his feet. Look at how David responded to the cursing of Shimei. My son, who is my own blood and flesh, is trying to take my life. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will see my distress and repay me with good for the cursing that I am receiving today. Lay it all at the feet of Jesus. Lay it all at the feet of Jesus. And you will know that even though it may feel like you are surrounded, you are surrounded by him. But thou, that is the second part, which is actually David's prayer. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. This section of the Psalms shows that the Lord is our shield, our glory, our restorer, our joy, our prayer answering God. The Lord is our shield. He is our protection. David's crisis was physical, real enemies, sharp arrows being directed at him, spears, divisions in his own family and his kingdom. In our lives, it may be spiritual, but God will extinguish all the fiery arrows of Satan. God's people have always been targets of the enemy, and God has always himself been their shield and protection. Now, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order is gone. But thou, O Lord, art my shield and my glory. David had some great successes in his life. But he is claiming here that his position is nothing. His real identification is in the Lord. His glory is in the Lord. Whether the Lord restores him or not to his former position, he will praise him. I will praise him yet. I will still praise him. He is declaring that without God, he is nothing. What a statement of faith. But thou, O God, art my shield and glory and the lifter of my head. This expression, the lifter of my head, we find it in Genesis chapter 40, 13. When Joseph told the cupbearer in prison that Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. Our God is a God of restoration. In Psalm 23, he restores my soul. In Jeremiah 30, 17, I will restore you to the health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord, because you are called an outcast. In Joel 2, 25 and 26, I will restore you to the years that the locusts have eaten, and you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God. With this conviction, David cried out to the Lord with his voice, and the Lord heard him from his holy hill. We recall that when David was fleeing from Jerusalem, Zadok, the priests, and the Levites were carrying the ark. to David. They wanted to carry the ark out of Jerusalem and follow David with the ark. But David told them to go back. Return with the ark, he says. Return the ark of the Lord to the city. If I find favor in the sight of the Lord, then he will bring me back again and show me it and his habitation. But if it is, or if he should say that I have no delight in you, behold, here I am. What a declaration of faith. The ark doesn't need to be with me. Leave it in Jerusalem. Wherever I pray, God will hear me. He heard me out of his holy hill. The ark wasn't with him, it was in Jerusalem. David was in the wilderness and he prayed, but the Lord heard him. How many of us think that God can only be found in specific places? God is here with you. Everywhere that you are, God is with you. Lay it before him, and he will hear your prayers. The Lord is ever ready to hear you. David cried out to the Lord, and the Lord heard him from his holy hill. God invites us to call him in prayer. In Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. In Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. In Mark 11, 24, he says, therefore, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Pray everywhere. Ask, and it shall be given to you. In the third part, that is verses 5 and 6, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Wow. I laid down and the Lord sustained me. I had a good sleep. This part of the psalm is in line with what Paul was telling us in Philippians 4. 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your mind in Christ Jesus. David prayed to the Lord, and irrespective of the problems around him, he slept in peace in the wilderness, not in his castle, not on his comfy bed. Perhaps he slept with a stone as his pillar, like what Jacob did. But he slept in peace. How many of us have a peaceful sleep in the midst of a storm? How is this possible? We say, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't have a wink sleep. I was turning and twisting and tossing in my bed all night. And when we wake up in the morning, we say, I can't think straight. I am exhausted. I can't put my mind together because I didn't have any sleep. But David had a good night's sleep. Why? Why did he have a good night's sleep? Because he has placed all. He has placed all his burdens at the feet of the Lord. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me. Being outnumbered does not mean being defeated. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me. When the Lord is your shield and sustainer, the numbers against you are irrelevant. In Judges chapter 7, God asked Gideon to reduce his army from 32,000 to only 300. And he delivered the Midianites into his hands. When the Lord is your shield and glory and the lifter of your head, the numbers against you pale into insignificant. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will shield you. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 may fall at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and if you make the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near you. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lions and cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, he says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life and satisfy him and show him my salvation. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me. Is it in the hands of the Lord? Then rest assured that he will guide you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. That is how I fight my battle. That is how I fight my battle. In the last part of the Psalms, David encouraged himself. He cries out again to the Lord. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheek. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation, hallelujah, belongs to the Lord. Thy blessing is on thy people. David remembered the victories that God has given him in the past. He remembered how he grappled with the lion and the bear and how he defeated Goliath. These verses reflect David's sure confidence that the Lord is the one who gives victory. Our victory would not be determined by our ability or great numbers. It is God who strengthens us and gives us victory. God's word is our assurance that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Believing prayer depends completely on God for deliverance. David's final prayer, thy blessing be upon thy people, shows that David was not praying for himself alone. Absalom's rebellion did not only impact David, it impacted the whole nation. So David prayed that the blessing of the Lord be upon his people. How many times do we selfishly pray? In our prayers, let us acknowledge that we may be the point of contact to a whole number of other people who need exactly the same thing that we need. So let our prayer not be just for ourselves, but for others. David prayed, "Thy kingdom come. Your will be done." When he was fleeing and Shimei cursed him, he prayed, "Let the Lord's will be done." When tens of thousands amassed against him, he prayed, "But thou, O Lord, are my shield, my restorer, and the lifter of my head. Thy will be done." David's prayer, though a short prayer, is teaching us that when we pray, we should pray the Lord's will. If we dwell upon the discouraging circumstances in our lives, the people who stab us in the back, the job that didn't work, the son or daughter who has deeply disappointed us, the parent who has betrayed us, the partner who has taken us for granted, and all the other troubles that seem to engulf us. If we depended on those things, then we will surely crash. But if we fix our eyes on Jesus and say, and stay in his word, then he will be our rescue. His word will help us to overcome. Our strategy for mastering crisis is laying it all before the Lord. we have the assurance that no matter what the report sounds like, we are not forsaken. No matter what it feels like, we are not alone. And no matter what it looks like, we have the victory. We can rest in the Lord because He is our shield. He is our glory. He is the lifter of our heads. He is our sustainer. He is our strength. And He is our salvation. The victory has already been won.
We trust that you have been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information or to follow up on what you have heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.